Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20 reads, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Lord, I pray today, simple prayer, help us to be more like your son, Jesus. Amen. I find something curious about the new year. I'm not entirely sure why, but it always seems to bring this far-reaching wave of optimism. Things that people weren't able to achieve all year, suddenly, just like that, there's a surge of confidence that makes people think that these things are within reach. Gyms are full of people who are determined that this will be the year they get into shape. Cafes are full of aspiring writers writing the first chapters of their books. Even churches are busy welcoming new people who want to take their faith more seriously. A new year seems to have this incredible way of giving people the push or belief that they need to know that something incredible can happen. And after 1 week, things seem to go well. But in that second week of the new year, something happens. Maybe you might miss your first gym session. Writer's block strikes and you find yourself stuck writing the new chapter of your book. You get home and you're tired from work and you just don't feel like reading the Bible that day. And somehow, by March, things have slowed down even more. And by June, you've already got one eye on the beginning of the next year, convinced that something can happen by then. It makes me wonder if there was a way you could bottle up and sell the feeling that the 1st of January brings, you would be a billionaire. Imagine for a moment, let's use this bottle as an example. Let's say in this bottle was January 1st, the New Year sensation. You had a New Year's resolution to eat healthier, things are going well, and then on a long day of work, you get home and you can't be asked to eat salad, and you're passing by McDonald's, and you can smell the cheese bubbling, and you're thinking, I just really want a burger right now, and you bring out your bottle of New Year's, and you're like, and all that motivation comes surging back, or you're trying to write the chapters of your book, you're lacking inspiration, you just spray a little New Year's, and all of a sudden, all that energy, all that enthusiasm and optimism you had about writing comes flooding back. Or you wanted to read your Bible, you're reading, you're praying, and then all of a sudden it feels tiresome and it feels boring and it feels kind of repetitive, and you just spray that New Year sensation, and then you have that fresh motivation that you had at the beginning of the year. Wouldn't that be amazing? Some of you probably wish this bottle was real. But of course, that would be ridiculous. It's just water, and it doesn't have the power to inspire or to motivate. However, what I find interesting is, even if this bottle had somehow extracted something of the New Year's feeling and had January 1st in it, it still would lack the power to motivate, inspire, change. Because January 1st, as this bottle of water is just water, January 1st is simply just a date. And it doesn't have any power to change. Now, I get it. Personally, I love Mondays. I couldn't really explain why. Maybe it's because the men take the garbage away and it feels clean and there's a fresh feeling. You get to plan the week ahead. I love Mondays. And don't get me started if the month begins on a Monday, because then I feel like it's a real fresh start and you just really get to plan for the month ahead, and there's this thing of excitement that happens with me. And I get that there's a sense in which when you have something new, when something feels novel, it brings about this optimism. Whether it be Mondays, birthdays, New Year's, whatever it may be, they're all great occasions to stop, take a step back, take stock, and reevaluate. But it becomes a step too far when we look to any date hoping that it will empower us to change, especially concerning our spiritual health. Being a more forgiving person, exercising self-control, developing healthy prayer habits, things of this nature, these things can't be inspired by a date. Has anyone heard the story of the frog and the scorpion? Okay, there's two people, so there's a lot of people get to hear it for the first time. That's encouraging. So basically, there's a frog, a scorpion, and a riverbank in front of them. And the scorpion says to the frog, "I really don't want to walk around the riverbank. Can you help me by taking me across? Because the frog can swim and the scorpion can't." The frog says, "Don't be stupid. I know the minute you get on my back, you're going to sting me." And the scorpion says, Hang on. Why would I sting you? If we're in the river and I sting you, we're both going to drown." The frog says, "That makes sense. All right, fine, let's do it." So the scorpion jumps on the frog's back. They're swimming through. And halfway through, the frog feels a sharp pain in its back. He says, "What was that? You stung me. Why did you sting me?" And the scorpion says, "I'm a scorpion. It's in my nature." Things, that may be a very cynical way to look at things, but does it resonate with you at all? Is that familiar in any sense? Have you ever wanted to show self-control, but acted on impulses instead? Have you ever acted maliciously when you know that we should be responding with kindness? Have you wanted love, joy, and peace, but lacked these things? Have you ever wanted to do a thing, to behave in a way, to think in a way, but found maybe your nature is at odds? This coming year, if you want to see change on that level, there's only one person who has the power to inspire that change, and it's Jesus, who we read about in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. If we want to see change, the question we need to ask ourselves is, how big is God really? How big do we understand God to be? I want to wrestle with this question a little by reading about the creation account. I'm going to read a bit from Genesis, just to give us some foundation here. Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that it was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate from the waters.' So God made the expanse and separated the water from under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear.' And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters, and he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, 'Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds.' And it was so. The land produced vegetations, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day." Don't worry, I'm not going to go through the whole creation account here. "And God said, 'Let there be lights in the sky, in the expanse of the sky, to separate day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and the days and the years. And let there be lights in the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Let's pause for a moment and look at the fourth day. God speaks a word. He says, let there be lights. And from his mouth comes the sun, the moon, and the stars. God speaks, and the sun appears. Something so hot, something so powerful, that we have to keep a safe distance of 93 million miles from. Yet, even at a distance, sometimes we complain about how hot it can be. Would you like to know how big the sun is? It would take 109 Earths to cross the distance of the sun. If Earth was a golf ball, the sun is a double-decker bus. The sun is mighty, but it wasn't heavy labor for God to create. Nothing but a word, and something so mighty appears. And there are stars in the galaxy, in the universe, that dwarf our sun. There is a star called, they all have funny names, UI Scuti, that is 1.700, no, basically it dwarfs our sun. If our Earth is a golf ball, this sun is Mount Everest. There are things in the universe, in creation, that we can't even fathom. I did some traveling over the Christmas period, and just getting to London felt a bit like a bore. But the distance from Earth to the sun, 93 million miles. These are things that we might struggle to comprehend. And when we consider the sun, the moon, the stars, and all these things, and the complexities of the universe, and then we read these lines from Colossians, for him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus sustains everything in all creation, from the burning stars down to every blade of grass we see in a field. Who's ever had anxiety about the sun rising? Who's ever gone to sleep thinking, oh, I really hope the sun turns up for work tomorrow? Probably not. That's something we don't have to worry about. And our confidence that the sun will rise every morning should be the same confidence we have in the God who sustains it. So the question remains, if we want to see our desire for God increase this year, if we want to put off old things and become more like Jesus, will we look to God to sustain those desires? Are we going to wait for Mondays? Are we going to wait for a month that begins on a Monday? I'm speaking to myself. Are we looking to New Year's to give us some kind of abstract power to inspire change? Many of us maybe have lofty ambitions this year, things we really want to achieve, and new resolutions are not a bad thing. But if we're looking for these dates to inspire change within us, then these dates are powerless. And that's why sometimes by the second week, by February, wherever it may be, we find that these dates come up short of the power we need to really hold on to that change. But if we look to the God who sustains all of creation, and it's not heavy labor, this is a God who does it effortlessly, who never makes us worry if the sun is going to rise, if it's going to be warm in the summer or cold in the winter. If we look to this God, the God of all creation, who sustains creation to sustain us, then I would guarantee you that your change will be in safe hands, the God who holds the world in his hands. The wonderful thing about God is that he's not bound by time. And whenever we want change, we don't have to wait for a specific time. sometimes it could be easy to fall into the habit to wait for things, but whenever it's needed, God is available 24/7, 365 days a year. And if we stumble, if we make mistakes and miss the mark in our resolutions, in our desire to know him, in our desire to change, right there and then, on a Wednesday at 3 a.m., whenever it may be, he's there to sustain. He's there to pick you up. He's there to dust you off. And he's there to make you new. Not waiting for a Monday and not waiting for a specific time where his power is activated, but 24/7. So my encouragement to you in the new year, it's great to have New Year's resolutions. As humans, there is going to be moments where we fail to meet the standards that we want and have for ourselves, let alone the standards that we ought to have through Scripture. But don't let that be a defeatist mentality. And then don't look to the new year to start and expire those changes again. But there and then, at all times, look to the God who sustains the universe to sustain you, and you'll be in safe hands. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that when we put things into its proper perspective, it becomes clear that when we see true beauty, when we stand before things like a waterfall, when we at the foot, at the base of the Grand Canyon, when we're inspired by these wonders of all creation, things take their proper shape. Things feel small when they're in the presence of true beauty. I pray, Lord, that all year and thereafter, we can really behold your beauty. Behold how big you truly are and how mighty you are. So that when we inspire, when we want to aspire to change, Lord, we're not looking at any other thing but to you. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us, give us favor, and empower us by your Holy Spirit to inspire the right success in us. Lord, we don't want to spend all year climbing up the ladder of success just to find out it was leaning on the wrong wall. Help us, Lord, to be in alignment with your will this year and have our goals, our targets, and our wills in alignment with yours. In Jesus' name, amen.